Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a glorious Friday. Strongest blazing five picks of the year in an hour. This is The Herd. Wherever you may be and however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and right here on FS1, it is Halloween tomorrow. Look at Joy Taylor, my friends. The queen has arrived.
You said go all out.
I told you. I love it. I said I wanted you to go all out.
My original plan was just to wear the red dress, and I had these at home. So it was more subtle.
This is the devil and the dude on 92.3.
I think I came as 2020.
You look fantastic.
Thank you.
Joy loves Halloween. I like 4th of July, beers, and blowing stuff up.
It's another good holiday, yes.
Yeah. So it's an interesting weekend. After this weekend, Joy, it's the halfway point of the NFL season, and the trading deadline is Tuesday.
Yes.
So if you're bad after this weekend, it's going to be a lot of trades coming up Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. And I want to talk about a game this weekend. It is amazing. Most people that aren't very good know it and keep quiet. And people that are good are a little cocky and feel themselves. You understand it. The great players know they're great. The great franchises know they're great. They've got a little bit of arrogance. It's institutional. I get it. But usually the people that are bad historically know it. So this weekend, the Steelers face the Baltimore Ravens. These are great organizations. Let me give you some numbers that are fascinating. In the last 20 years, two decades, good round number, the Steelers and the Ravens in just the AFC North have combined for 4 Super Bowl wins, 30 playoff wins. That's unbelievable. And 15 division titles. That's incredible. Do you know what the Cleveland Browns have done with those three boxes? 0-0-0. But the Cleveland Browns are constantly upset that people diss them and laugh at them and roll our eyes and mock them and don't give them the respect they so richly deserve. Cleveland is the most over-discussed team in professional sports, the most over-discussed lousy team. We don't talk about the Lions on this show. We don't talk about the Jags. We don't talk about the Bengals much on this show. What about the Dallas Cowboys, Colin? Well, they have a rich history. They have 5 Super Bowls. They have some of the best players in league history have been Dallas Cowboys. They also, in the last decade, just the last decade, they've won their division 3 times. They have playoff wins. In the last 2 decades, Cleveland has the worst winning percentage in the entire sport. And they're constantly upset that we don't give them more press, more respect, more talk. Last week, they barely beat the Bengals. Had to come from behind 3 times in the 4th quarter. And I said, you know, it's impressive. Actually, Joe Burrow's working with nothing. He's a rookie quarterback, no preseason. What about us? What about you? You're the Bengals. You're the Browns, excuse me. In the last 20 years, the Steelers have had 2 head coaches. The Ravens have had 2 head coaches. The Browns have had 12. I mean, it's incredible. It's like the Browns have become like the reality show of the NFL. You know those reality shows? Like couples and families that have their act together never go on those shows. It's just famous losers. But you do kind of stick around because it's fun to watch them disintegrate and argue over dumb stuff that sometimes semi-famous losers do. And it's amazing with Cleveland. This weekend, Baltimore is going to play Pittsburgh. And it's just going to be Super Bowl relevance. They're both in the Super Bowl bubble. It's going to be legendary Hall of Fame coaches. It's going to be great quarterback play. It's going to be historic fan bases. It's going to be Pro Bowlers on both sides. And yet, Monday, when the Browns, you know, probably beat the Raiders, they will wonder why we roll our eyes at it. You know, because 2 weeks ago you played the Steelers and got housed, and 6-7 weeks ago you played the Ravens and got housed. I always wonder, like, I know Brown fans think of the Steelers and the Ravens often. Do the Steelers and Ravens, do they ever just look at the Cleveland Browns and just laugh? They have to. They have to just laugh at the Cleveland Browns. Because the Cleveland Browns are rare. They're pathetic and they have a swagger. They're awful and they put their chest out. And I've got to be honest with you, it's kind of fascinating. I mean, the Lions are bad and know it. Jags are bad, rebuilding, know it. Cincinnati's bad rebuilding. They're not cocky. Cleveland's, you know, the Chicago Cubs were losers, but they were lovable. The Browns are obnoxious, righteous, cocky, and historically the biggest joke in the league. So I cannot wait to watch the Steelers-Ravens this weekend, but I'm going to keep my eye on the Raiders and Browns because I know if the Browns win, they're going to demand respect Monday, just like they did for beating the Bengals barely last weekend. So, you know, we've said before, there are good losses and bad wins. That happens all the time in sports. Fans, of course, don't want to hear that. I understand that. And for fans, mostly, you win, it's good. You lose, it's bad. But last night was what I would call a really, really bad win for the Atlanta Falcons. The Atlanta Falcons have become the Detroit Lions. They're 2-6. You know, Detroit's 3-3. But they've got really competent quarterbacks. So they're too competent to get a top five draft pick. Detroit's going to end up winning four or five more games. Atlanta's going to win three or four more games. And they're not going to get a top 10 pick. And they're going to stick with their quarterbacks. It's called NFL quicksand. See, New England's figured it out. Be great as long as you can. Then when you're bad, tell your players to opt out, trade players, be awful, get a great quarterback out of college, reboot, and be great again. That's what New England will do. Atlanta is in quicksand. They're too competent. Matt Ryan's just too competent at quarterback to win just two games. I mean, Matt Ryan this year completes 67% of his throws, you know, 98 quarterback rating, 12 touchdowns, 4 picks. They're 2-6, and let's be honest about it, they should be 5-3. Three times they've led a game with 2 minutes or less. They're just too – Matt Stafford is too competent. Matt Ryan is too competent. That they're going to win a bunch of games. Atlanta's going to win three or four more games. Detroit's going to win four or five more games. You're going to look up and you're going to have the 12th pick or the 15th pick, and you're going to get a cornerback from Virginia Tech or a offensive tackle from Oklahoma, and it won't change anything at all. And here's the problem with a Detroit and with an Atlanta. You don't have a top five or six great quarterback, but you've got certainly a top 12 quarterback, so they're competent. And you're locked into their contract, so it makes your job even less desirable. I mean, the Jets' job, if you have the number one pick and all those picks, could actually be very attractive. I could get Trevor Lawrence and 15 picks over the next, you know, year and a half, 2 years. That's kind of attractive. So I watched Atlanta win last night, and I'm like, this is just quicksand. What would I do? What would I do if I was Atlanta? I'd trade everybody by the trading deadline Tuesday. I'd trade everybody I could, including Matt Ryan, and I'd start over. I'd lose the rest of my games. They're 2-6. I would go 2-14. That's what I would do. And then I would have a top three pick. I'd get another quarterback. By the way, if I trade Matt Ryan, I'm going to get two or three good picks. I would just start over. In the NFL, you want to be really good, top five or six team, or a bottom seven or eight team, and be horrible. I mean, in fact, even a bottom five team. So Atlanta's going to be in quicksand. Detroit's going to be in quicksand. They're going to get a 15th, 18th pick. And by the way, Matt Ryan and Matt Stafford are both still good enough to win a bunch of games in the NFL. They just need, you know, the right spot. You put Matt Ryan in Indianapolis with the Colts, or you put Matt Stafford in Indianapolis with the Colts and that front office and that coach and that offensive line, those are playoff teams. But I'm watching Atlanta last night, and I'm like, this is a terrible win. You're in quicksand. You're just too darn good at quarterback to not win five games. That means you don't get the quarterbacks. That means you're not going to get Trey Lance, Justin Fields, or Trevor Lawrence. I would sell everything. Everything must go. Liquidation sale. Julio Jones, Matt Ryan, take what I can, lose them all, and start over. That's what I would do. Because I look right now, and I look at the NFL, and you got to beat Patrick Mahomes and Big Ben and Lamar Jackson. Tom Brady's team is loaded. I mean, you look around the NFL, who do you have to beat? Aaron Rodgers, Russell Wilson, Garoppolo and Kyle Shanahan, McVay and Goff. That's what you got to beat to win a Super Bowl right now. Atlanta, I'd start over. I know, bad win. I'd start over. We have a bunch of stuff here. Coming up next, a team that has been great is starting over. They're not advertising it, but they're doing it and will finalize their tanking Tuesday at the trading deadline. That's coming up. Blazing 5, Matthew McConaughey stops by today. The great famous actor is going to be joining us as well.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
RecTech Grills, built by grillers for grillers. Smart grill technology. You can start the grill from your phone. You can cook the protein, the meat from your phone. It's nice to have you in. This is The Herd. So the Rams go to Miami. I think it's a really bad spot for the Rams this week. I like Miami this week. But I told you I have reservations about Tua. That doesn't mean Tua's not going to win games in the NFL. You know, there's a lot of quarterbacks who don't work. I mean, Sam Darnold at the end of last year, you wouldn't say his career is working so far, but he had a winning record last year. Tua's going to win some games in the NFL. I think this game is a very winnable game for Tua. I think it's a bad spot. Rams are on a short week, 10 o'clock start early, flying east. Dolphins well-coached off a bye. It's a good spot for Miami. But let's be reasonable with Tua here. What is a success for Tua? To me, no injury, one or fewer interceptions, in control of the offense. Wins don't care. Stats do not care. If he goes, let's say, 18 for 30, a touchdown, a pick, does not appear on the injury report, I don't even care if they win. If he gets injured, all of our opinions are going to be vastly different Sunday night. We're going to be saying things like, oh, wow. Wow, it's not going to be Burrow. It's not going to be Lamar. It's not going to be Josh Allen. It's not even going to be Baker Mayfield. It's not going to work. So to me, can you keep him clean? Can he go 18 of 30, 60%, has a pick, has an interception? Let's be realistic about our expectations. We tend to think, oh, this guy did this and this guy did that. Miami's a rebuilding team. Now, it's a very good spot for Miami this week. This is a great spot for them. Off a bye with a coach, very good defense. Rams are on a short week, traveling cross country, an early Eastern game. I mean, this has Miami win all over it. And if it Ryan Fitzpatrick was playing, I would love the Dolphins. Tua's not going to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, as Joy has said. Miami fans have won very rarely in the last decade, so they're freaking out. We're on a two-game winning streak. Tua's about the future. You knew it was going to happen. I have my reservations. Let's be realistic about this. If he looks poised, he doesn't look too rattled other than a play or two, it will be a slam dunk for him. So I think this is one of the most compelling games of the weekend. I cannot wait to watch it. Tua time in earnest begins Sunday. And here is Joy Taylor with the news.
No.
Turn on the news.
This is the Herd Line
by,
News.
By the way, Herbert and Burrow, who we love, right? We think they're great rookies.
Right.
Between the two of them have two wins, both against the Jags. And we love both. So it's like, right. Let's not judge Tua on wins. Let's judge him on calm, collecting. Does he look in control?
Yes. Temper your expectations and realize he's a rookie quarterback.
Against a good team.
The problem is the Dolphins were winning.
Yes.
So Dolphins fans are going to be like, well, what did we do this for? We were winning. And that's hard. It's hard for fans.
Yeah.
It's understandable. You want to win. It's more fun that way. But you got to think bigger picture. So there's been a lot of talk that Trevor Lawrence could avoid being drafted by the Jets next year and return to Clemson instead. But Dabo Swinney isn't thinking too much about what his star quarterback could be doing next season.
He's going to do whatever he needs to do. I mean, you know, I'm going to save a scholarship for him just in case. But, you know, I'm not real worried about it. You know, he ain't worried about it either. We'll certainly let him stay if that's what he wants to do. But I'd be surprised if he's back with the Tigers next year. But who knows? You never know.
Yeah,
he should go pro. We'll all be surprised.
Yeah, he should go pro. There's some guys, you know, you watch Ja Morant and Zion. You see some college guys. You're like, well, they're actually pros right now, playing in college.
He is a pro.
Yeah, playing in college. That's
right
what
now.
He is.
But
yeah.
Also, what are we just talking about? Tua. Tua was the consensus number one overall pick in the draft, and then he broke his hip, and then he dropped. Like, right. It's not like he dropped out of the top 10, but things can happen in the blink of an eye, and then it's a completely different situation. So there's no reasoning behind him going back to college. I think that would be, not that we need to judge what kids are doing with their lives, but I don't think anyone would advise him to do that. That said, there are a lot of things still up in the air. You started in the beginning of the show talking about the Falcons. That was a bad win for them last night. Again, great for fans, great for the players. But overall, if you're looking at the future of the franchise, like, there's a lot of things that could change over the next half of the season to see where Trevor could possibly end up going. Another note on him, he did test positive for COVID, so he'll miss tomorrow's game against Boston College. His symptoms are relatively mild. The bigger story to that, obviously, other than him testing positive, was, is he going to be available for the Notre Dame game? The positive test was Wednesday, so there's a 10-day isolation period, which would end next Friday. And as long as he's symptom-free and for at least 24 hours and test negative, he would be able to play. He also has to pass cardiac tests, which they're doing on college players. But he's going to be the number one overall pick, and it could be very interesting depending on who's at the top of the draft. Because, look, you never know what could happen. The Jets could rip a couple off. Gardner Minshew is injured now. So the Jags are not in a good spot, as you just mentioned. There's a lot of things that could happen over the next couple weeks, and that would determine the future of Trevor Lawrence in the NFL. So the 2-5 Cowboys head to Philly to take on the NFC East leading Eagles on Sunday. Sneaky huge game.
Oh, yeah.
And Ezekiel Elliott still feels confident that Dallas can make a run for the postseason.
You know, we can't really control what's happened up to this point. We have had a lot of injuries. You know, we haven't played the best in some games, but what we do know is that I think if we win this week, are we first in the division? So, I mean, we're still right where we need to be. We're still at a place where we can make a run for the playoffs.
He's absolutely right.
But what if they get blown out by 20? Then you got to start selling stuff by Monday night.
Are they going to do that?
Oh, I would think it's odd. I mean, Goulet, you're a Cowboy fan.
Unfortunately, yes.
Isn't this one of these obvious moments you root against your team?
Yeah. My favorite team is Cowboys opponent for the rest of the season.
It should be. That's the smart fan. You want Dallas, mail it in, Amari Cooper, DeMarcus, whatever you got to do, and get a top five pick and go get a difference maker.
Well, if Dak was healthy, then I would say no.
Well, Dak's going to be the future. I'm not saying quarterback, but
right.
just
so I'm
go.
Saying because Dak is out, and now Andy Dalton is likely out as well.
Yeah,
because he hasn't passed concussion protocol yet. Yes, you are now officially in rebuilding mode.
Yes,
the Dak's not coming back this season, and he's the franchise quarterback. So
sell some picks.
This
Dak
is
will
not
be back.
Here.
Yeah, Dak will be back. Sell some picks. Rebuild your O line first. D line second.
But the problem is, well, not problem. The problem is if that's your mentality and you're a fan, that's a problem. But players and coaches don't tank.
Yeah.
Players and coaches are not going to go out there and play halfway. Maybe the last two games of the season, if you know you're out of the playoffs, you're not going to be giving it your best effort. But the players and coaches are not trying to hear any of that. They're trying to win every single week, and they're going to play hard. Now, that's been the question of the Cowboys, if they're actually playing hard. But they're still in the race for the division, and that's a big game this weekend. So John Harbaugh and Mike Tomlin will be making history when the Ravens and Steelers play this weekend. On Sunday, they will be the first coaches in the modern era to match up against each other 25 times in the regular season. Harbaugh and the Ravens have a 13-11 edge in the 24 meetings so far.
Not many people have an edge over the Steelers last 20 years.
No, and that's really a testament to what those organizations are.
Winners.
Winners and consistent. They don't trade in for their coaches every 3 years. Like, in order for that to be possible, you have to be the head coach for a significant amount of time.
Well, Belichick always says it. We're not just collecting players here. Cleveland collects players. Like Pittsburgh and Baltimore are building a business. And they're, you know, Minka Fitzpatrick, that's a guy they're going to keep for the next 6 years. It's not just about collecting players. The really smart organizations draft, develop, sign long-term, and then, you know.
And they have cultures.
Yes.
And goals and standards. Fox Bet has the Ravens favored by 4.5.
I stayed away from this game. It's not in my Blazing Five. I liked the Steelers earlier in the week, but as the number came down a tad, I went, I'm gonna stay away from that game. You know, I've said this before in Blazing Five is, a lot of the games I pick are not big TV games because I think sometimes the emotion of a TV game is hard for me to figure out how it works. It's much easier to take a Colts game with Phillip Rivers where it's just a 1 o'clock game. I can take the better team, look at the health report, look at the line. To me, Steelers and Ravens has so much emotion in it.
Oh, yeah. And not only is it a division game, it's the division rival.
And it could have Super Bowl and seeding implications.
Yeah.
So to me, it's like, I want to watch that game and enjoy it.
Right,
but I don't.
Not
there's
about your money on it.
So much emotion in that game. I rarely bet Brady Manning games. It was too much emotion for me. And sometimes players in big games get tight and they underperform. And then sometimes lesser players overperform. I find big TV national games the hardest to bet in the NFL.
There's a lot of emotion and animosity, especially in this game. AFC North, very tough, very physical. Yeah. But I think if the Steelers win this game, I don't know. You got to put them. You don't. Because I know that's not how you do your – You're Herd hired.
No,
me,
I'm going to put him in the top 10. For sure. For sure. I'll put him in the top 10.
Okay, that's fair.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News.
Well, he won a Super Bowl. He was a multiple-time Pro Bowler. I don't know why I saw so much Greg Jennings footage this week. It was on First Things First. They were showing all his great catches. He has like four of them. And he is now joining me, brought to you by Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing. That was so mean. I mean, that was really uncalled for. I'm such a jerk. No, I was watching all your video this week. So, you know, I was saying this. After this weekend, Greg, we're at the halfway point of the season, and if you're a bad team, you don't want to be in quicksand. Have you, and so it's you're nobody tanks in the NFL, but you management decides to reboot and restructure sometimes. Have you ever been on a team? I looked this morning. I'm like, Packers, Dolphins, Vikings. Were you ever on a team at the trading deadline that you kind of felt like they ain't worried about this season, they're worried about next season?
Not really. Not even the team that we had when I was down in Miami with the Dolphins. We were a bad team, but had a ton of good pieces. I think more or less it was more up with the management of figuring out who the new head coach was going to be, that regime, and finding out what pieces worked and then trying to add pieces. But Miami has been trying to add pieces for years, and I think that they've finally gotten to the point where they feel really good about where they are. But I've never really been on teams where we've had to change directions mid-season.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting this week. We've seen Burrow and Herbert come out and been very, very good. They're not winning a bunch of games. They both combined have two wins, both over the Jags. And I said about Tua, I said, let's just be reasonable here. 18 for 30, one TD, one pick, mostly feels in control. I don't care if he wins or loses. You know, that to me is fair. Is there anything you would see with Tua this weekend, Greg? And you'd be like, oh, I don't like that. That's not good. What do you need to see?
For me, it's like you said, it's poise, it's control of the game. It's that maturation from first quarter to the fourth quarter, and then game management, how he manages the game, how he controls the huddle, how he commands the huddle, and the guys around him that's going to be listening to him when it comes to play calls, what he looks like at the line of scrimmage. Does he look and appear to be in control, and that he's identifying what the defenses are presenting in front of him? Those are the little things that, from a coaching perspective, and even as a teammate, that you want to know your young quarterback has under wraps.
Yeah. You know, I said at the trading deadline, Seattle gets Carlos Dunlap. You know, the Eagles and the Rams over the last few years have been very aggressive teams. And Green Bay tends to be, we're going to draft our players, develop them. It's like this Midwestern ethos. We're going to buy a used car and pay down our bills, and we're going to be responsible. And I said to myself the other day, I said, listen, go get Will Fuller. I don't know if he's going to be great, but I got Davante Adams gets nicked up more than occasionally. I'm watching Seattle's defense now get better with Carlos Dunlap, a very good, smart veteran player. He's worth a sack every other game. And I think to myself, I don't know if Will Fuller is perfect or Amari Cooper's kind of expensive, but I kind of feel Aaron Rodgers is 37 in a month. I kind of feel like you owe it to him. Do you think they'll do it? Do you think they should do it?
It's tough. This is always challenging because it's kind of like having friends and or being in the locker room and you see somebody pull up with a new car and all of a sudden you kind of want a new car, but you know you really shouldn't do it. It's like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You see them adding insurance policies when they go and get Antonio Brown, and they already have a plethora of skill guys. And you're Green Bay, and you have a similar type of quarterback who is aging and who is kind of on the downslope, but his downslope is a little slower than Brady's.
Right.
And it's like, we got to capitalize. We got to take advantage of this. You mentioned Will Fuller. For me, I don't really care for the Will Fuller acquisition if they chose to go that route, simply because you're talking about injuries with Davante Adams and him being in and off, on and off the field. You know what he provides when he's healthy. But I need consistency and availability. And Will Fuller has shown that he has been unavailable at times. A guy that I would love to see added to this roster is a guy that's that's going to really add to what they do. And that's Golden Tate. He's in a situation in New York where if they're not doing anything, they're not going anywhere, they're not playing for any playoff berth or anything like that. He's an older guy. He wants to win. He can provide you the ability to run the routes in the slot as well as on the outside. Understands the game of football, played in cold weather, played in all different climates. I like Golden Tate added to this team. And again, people will say, well, the defense is what needs the attention. In today's game, with as many points as these offenses are putting up, you have to be able to continue to score the football.
Yeah.
And for me, with Aaron Rodgers and his ability to spread the ball around and utilize weapons, give him as many weapons as you can possibly give him at his disposal.
That's pretty interesting. Golden Tate. And then the Giants already have Sterling Shepard, who's kind of like Golden Tate, but younger.
So, exactly.
So you could, that's really interesting. So we have a game this weekend. It's fascinating. In the last 20 years, the Steelers and Ravens have combined for 30 playoff wins and 4 Super Bowls. So when you were with Green Bay, it was an excellent organization. And it's unrealistic to expect professional athletes. Every game feels huge. You're human beings. But there's 3 or 4 games on a schedule a year and maybe a rivalry game, Greg, that you were in. Maybe it's the Bears. Maybe it's the Vikings. And it, to me, as a fan, I'm more into it. I think to myself, oh, God, the players have to be so into it. Steelers, Ravens, go back to your Green Bay career or Minnesota. Were there a couple of games a year that feel different, and did it change your preparation? Did it change your focus? Did you play well in those games?
So to answer those questions kind of sporadically, so did it change my preparation? It didn't. It heightened my awareness of who they were and what they could do and where they would end up at the end of the season. And I think when you're talking about these types of games, Steelers, Ravens, Green Bay, Chicago, when they were good, when we were playing, they were measuring sticks during the regular season. The Seattles, the 49ers, teams like that, you measured where you were as a team. Because you knew those types of teams were going to be there at the end of the season, probably in the playoffs, and you would have to face them. So you wanted to see where you measured up. If you were better, if you weren't there yet, if you were kind of even keel, like these games were very important, which is why we look at Cleveland with what they've done against the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Ravens, and we're like, they're not quite there yet. But this game, when you're talking about Lamar Jackson and you're talking about Ben Roethlisberger, who wasn't involved in this rivalry last season, it's a huge game for Lamar Jackson to measure up and understand that, look, this is the type of team we're going to have to face and beat in the playoffs,
right,
if we want to accomplish what we've set out to accomplish, which is bring home the Lombardi Trophy.
Finally, listen, Tampa Bay doesn't need receivers. They go get Antonio Brown. We know his past. Joy and I have been like, we're going to assume it doesn't work because the last couple of stops, it doesn't work. Would you have made the deal? Let me ask you this. As a receiver on that team, because you're like Mike Evans, or I mean, you have a better career than like those guys right now, obviously, but you were a star receiver in the league. You don't need receivers. And then they bring in AB. How does it not disrupt the locker room a little? A little?
Yeah, you question it as a receiver, especially if you don't have a relationship with the receiver that's being acquired. It's like, wait, we have enough weapons. And then selfishly, Colin, you're thinking, that's going to take away from what I already don't get. Even though this is being honest, even though you want to win, you know what you provide helps the team and adds value and allows us to actually be in the win column even more if I get opportunities. That's just the way receivers think. But in this situation, I understand why Tom Brady is so gung-ho about Antonio Brown and they went after him. When you look at Tom Brady's career, he's never really had that relationship with the 6'3", 6'4", 6'5" plus receivers that they've just been able to run every single route, and they've been his go-to guy. Randy Moss is the only guy that really stands out that had the height and the speed and could just blow the top off. Every other receiver that we've seen Tom Brady thrive with could run the route tree to perfection. the Edelmans, the Welkers, guys like that. It's and I think that's what's so intriguing about this. And again, Antonio Brown knows what he's getting himself into as well. He sees the skill guys that this team already possesses. So he has to be, if he's making the choice to go here, he's also mindful of, okay, I know I'm not going to get 12 targets a game. I understand that it's not going to be what it once was. I'm here because I really want to win, and I want to win with the guy they have at quarterback because I know he's capable of providing that for me. And when you're 32 years old and you've allowed things and opportunities to kind of slip through your hands, you cherish them a little differently when you have another one that is sitting in your lap.
Fox Sports NFL analyst, do you have a game this weekend, Greg? Are you doing a game? I'm looking here, right here.
I'm off this weekend, but I got Seattle and Buffalo next weekend.
Ooh, that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
Greg Jennings, Fox Sports. Great seeing you, man.
I appreciate it.
You bet.
Joy, great costume.
Yes.
Thanks.
Great costume for our radio listeners on Fox Sports Radio. Turn to the TV. Now, for Joy, as you've said, this is your biggest holiday.
Yes. This is my high holiday, yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's my favorite.
Okay.
It's just fun.
My wife likes Thanksgiving.
I love Thanksgiving. I love Christmas. I love 4th of July. I love New Year's. Halloween's just fun. I'm a little insane, so this is where I can thrive, and everyone thinks it's normal.
Blazing 5, top of the hour. Coming up, why after this weekend? I mean, the toughest decision this weekend is going to be made by John Elway. What? I'll explain coming up next.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Seeing the check engine light come on can give people anxiety. Don't let it give you anxiety. Go to carshield.com. You can get 10% off a policy, a warranty. Carshield.com, code HERD. A deductible may apply. Chris Sims next hour. Lavonte David, the Tampa Bay Buccaneer linebacker. Many believe he's the best linebacker in football. Is going to be on the show today. Matthew McConaughey, the actor, is going to be on the show today. He's been in sports movies. He is at the University of Texas. He's kind of driving their new basketball facility and their cultural facility.
Huge Texas fan.
Huge Texas fan. He grew up in the state of Texas, but he was a Washington football team fan. So it's a, you know, I mean, Kevin Durant, you know, you think to yourself, oh, he's from D.C., then he goes to Texas, then it's Seattle, down to Golden State, Brooklyn. After a while, I'm not sure you're from anywhere. Like, Kevin Durant's moved so much. You and I have moved so much in our life. There are cities that I like more, but, like, people, where are you from? Here?
It starts to become a blur after a while.
My life's a blur. I've just been everywhere. So this is a fascinating weekend. So after this weekend, two reasons it's fascinating. After this weekend, we're halfway through the season. And then after this weekend, if you're bad, Tuesday is the trading deadline. You can just say, hey, we're starting over. Let's get picks. Let's get rid of some really good players but expensive. So after this, I think here's where we are in the NFL. There's three groups of teams now. So the first group is, we all kind of admit this, most of them, I call it my Super Bowl bubble. 8 teams every year since I was a kid feel like they can win the Super Bowl. Now, Green Bay, Seattle, Tampa, and the Rams in the NFC. I like the Rams more than you do. And then the Steelers, the Chiefs, the Titans, and the Ravens. The second group is too darn talented not to be in playoff contention. Niners, Saints, Bills, Dolphins, Raiders, Lions, Cardinals, Bears, Browns, Colts, Eagles, Chargers. They either have the coach and the players, the quarterback, but they're going to be around for the next couple of months, banging around for a chance at the playoffs. And then prepping for the draft, 12 teams. Jets, Patriots, Bengals, Texans, Jags, Broncos, Washington, Giants, Vikings, Panthers, Cowboys. Now, two of those teams, the Texans and the Broncos, have a lot of good players. Let me talk about Denver for a second. This is what's fascinating about Denver. So they're 2-4, and I like them this weekend. But if they lose, if Denver goes to 2-5, because they've got 6 or 7 really talented players, if Denver lost this week, there's a new reality for John Elway, who runs the franchise. So John knows, I got to win this division. I got to beat Patrick Mahomes. I play him twice a year. I got to face Derek Carr. He's pretty good, too, twice a year. But now John Elway says, I got to face Justin Herbert twice a year. He looks like a star. So if the Broncos lose this weekend and go 2-5, Mahomes twice, Carr twice, Justin Herbert twice. No thank you. Do you move off Drew Lock? Do you say to yourself, we're trading pieces, we're getting picks, we're losing games, I'm getting one of these three quarterbacks. Now, it sounds ridiculous, and I think Drew Lock is talented, but Justin Herbert is so good. You're like, there are times, was Mahomes this good in his first couple games? Whoa. So it's Denver's a really interesting team. Does Elway wake up if they lost this weekend? Not saying they would. If they lost, you're 2-5, trading deadline, and you got some good players. You've got some good players in Denver, and you're like, you know what? I'm going to move a couple of them. I'm going to lose more games. I'm going to get better draft picks. That'll be fascinating to me. What do you do with Drew Lock? Because he's one of those right now, you think there's something there, but you're not sure. You only got one more game to make a decision on that to move some pieces. Interesting place to be for them. Something else quickly. We were talking about this. The Dallas Cowboys play the Philadelphia Eagles this weekend. And this is one of the things that when I was 7, 8, 9 years old, this was something that was obvious to me, that you want your team to win, but there are these rare years where you root against your team to get something. Years ago, I remember I was at the other network arguing with Colt fans when I used to take phone calls. Lose to get Andrew Luck. You cannot, as a fan. Yes, you can. You want to get your next Peyton Manning. This is obvious, right? And I've always said fans are 50-50. 50% of fans you would not want to bump into at a rest area. Like they're just not, you know, they're just breathing, walking, talking, chewing gum. They can't do it. And there's a 50% of fans that are just, you know, they get the bigger picture. There were fans in Cleveland. I argued with them. I mean, that when I used to take calls, you can't lose to get LeBron. I'm like, yes, you can. Like there are these, you know, there are these unique players. And so Dallas does not need a quarterback. They're going to go with Dak going forward. But John Goulet and I, we talked about this earlier. If I'm Dallas, the worst thing you can do this weekend is win with a backup. And Jerry Jones thinks, how about them Cowboys? No. You want Dallas to go out and get absolutely boat raced and humiliated, and it's against a rival. Do you know how angry Jerry was losing to the Washington football team? And it was like humiliating. 2 days later, he was yelling at Dallas radio hosts on the air. So this is another division rival. Here come the Eagles, even a bigger rival last decade. Just get toasted by him. If you're a Cowboy fan, 40-6. That's when, I mean, my bad, 50-0. Jerry flies back in his Gulfstream, and he's like, I'm firing the coach. I'm trading Amari Cooper. I'm trading DeMarcus Lawrence. It's exactly what you should do. It's not to get a quarterback, but it's to get picks. You are in a rebuild. You're going to keep Dak. You're going to keep Zeke. After that, start moving one or two of your receivers. I'd keep Jalen Smith, but I would think about DeMarcus Lawrence. You're paying him a lot. He's not very productive. He's a good player. But that only happens if Jerry gets humiliated, because Jerry tends to be, and I was told this years ago by a really, really, really smart guy, a very, very successful guy, and he said, it's hard to be cynical in a billionaire. He goes, to be a billionaire, you have to be optimistic. You have to be a glass half full, because business is so hard. And if you build an empire, there's so many bad days and so many obstacles and so many crazy moments. You can literally talk yourself out of succeeding. You have to be eternally optimistic. And Jerry is. I mean, he was a wildcatter. He was a guy that went seeking oil, where you strike out 95% of the times. It's that 5% where you can think you can strike it rich that keeps you going back to the oil fields. Jerry's an optimist. You have to lose so badly that even an optimist goes, this is unfixable. This is terrible. I literally have to get rid of the coach. And the only way that happens is that the Washington game, it happens again, but worse. So you go out as your Dallas fan and you just get 40-6. 40-6. You get on that Gulfstream. You're like, Steven, give me my tumbler. I can't take this. I'm not doing this again. And Steven goes, Dad, Amari Cooper to the Green Bay Packers. Dad, DeMarcus Lawrence to the Seahawks. That's what sometimes you have to have it. So, John, what are you hoping for this weekend?
40-6.
Joy's the one. Joy, she knows the Tua things big picture. That's the way it works.
Thank for Tua.
That's right. All right, Blazing 5 next.